Our opening song is called Dodo Tete Waltz. It's composed by Warren Park, which is Bob Park's brother. Again, that was composed by Warren Park, who is Bob Park's brother. And I linked in the order of service the website. So if you're interested, you can click on it. And there's a lot of other music you can listen to that he's composed. So good morning and welcome to Prairie UU Society. My name is Renee Deschard. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I've been a member of Prairie for about 2 years. And I am currently the chair of the program committee. And I'm the newsletter editor, and I'm on the search committee, and I think I'm onto the design committee, and I think that's it. That's enough. So Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, though we recognize that we all have biases that limit our understanding of how others may perceive us. We stumble in our efforts, but we commit to keep trying to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, family structure, age, or abilities. And we will have a virtual coffee hour at the end of the service where we invite guests and visitors to introduce themselves and joys and concerns, and then a breakout discussion. We have a few announcements. You can see more information in the order of service that was emailed to Prairie News. We have a new quarterly sharing partner. So it's this quarter is the Catalyst Project, and it's a community of up to 4 single moms and their kids who are experiencing homelessness. So that's our new sharing partner. And again, if you click on the link in the order of service, you can go and donate there. We are going to be sending out a fall Prairie UU retreat survey soon. So watch for that. We'll be open for like, I think a week or week and a half for you to fill out. Even if you haven't participated in retreat activities, we'd love to hear from you to get thoughts for future retreats. And we have 2 p.m. today is Kathy's photo show. She has laryngitis. However, I will be speaking and then she's going to be there and she can answer questions and like use the chat as well. But her voice is a little sore, so she's going to try and rest as much as she can. Tonight is the Prairie Sing-Along at 6 p.m. and every Sunday night. And the information is sent to news, so you
Close
can
enough. There
check
you go.
that out. And we have virtual Dungeons and Dragons every Monday and Friday. And we have Wednesday fun nights every week at 6 p.m. So next up we have is Randy Converse is going to do our chalice lighting. All animals are our relatives by Florence Kaplow. Feel free to light your own candle or chalice during this time.
We light this chalice in honor of the animal realm. Furred and hoofed, two-legged, four-legged, many-legged. Fanged and clawed, gentle and fierce, wild and tame. May we remember that all animals are our relatives, worthy of our care and respect.
Thank you, Randy. We're going to have a moment of silent meditation. So you can close your eyes or you can keep them open. We're just going to have some silent meditation moment. Here's my chime for it. All right. So next up, we have the story for all ages. And this is a book. It's called Children Make Terrible Pets. And I said that it was by Peter H. Reynolds, who is an author, but it's not. It's by Peter Brown. It's a different Peter. So it's by Peter Brown. So I'm going to share my screen.
One morning, Lucy was practicing her twirls when she noticed she was being watched.
Hello? Who's there? I can smell you behind those bushes, so just come on out. Squeak!
When her secret admirer scurried into the open, Lucy could not believe her eyes.
Oh my gosh! You are the cutest critter in the whole forest! Squeak!
So Lucy brought the critter home to show her mom.
Mom! Look what I found outside! I call him Squeaker because he makes funny sounds. Squeak! See? Isn't he the cutest? Can I keep him, please?
Lucille Beatrice Bear, don't you know that children make terrible pets?
Aw, come on, Mom. Look how sweet he is. You won't be any trouble, will you, boy? Squeak!
Oh, all right. You can keep him on one condition. Squeaker is your responsibility. I will not take care of him for you.
Thanks, Mom. Squeaker's going to be the best pet ever. You'll see.
Lucy and Squeaker were inseparable. They played together. They ate together. They napped together. Lucy and Squeaker did everything together, but it wasn't all fun and games. He was impossible to potty train. Squeak! He ruined the furniture. Squeak! He caused problems wherever he went. We don't throw food at tea parties! And just when Lucy thought things couldn't get any worse, squeak! Squeaker disappeared. Squeaker? Lucy checked the usual hiding spots, but her pet was nowhere to be found. Here, Squeaker. Come here, boy. Squeaker? Squeaker, where are you? Lucy had almost given up hope when her sensitive nose caught a whiff of her squeaker. Lucy followed Squeaker's scent this way and that across the entire forest until finally she found Squeaker. But something had changed. Squeaker didn't seem like a pet anymore. Lucy knew what she had to do. Goodbye, Squeaker. Squeak, 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 squeak. Lucy had a lot to think about on her walk home. I'm really gonna miss that little fella. Squeaker belongs with his family. I guess some critters just aren't meant to be pets. Maybe it's all for the best. By the end of the day, Lucy had learned one very valuable lesson. You were right, Mom. Children do make terrible pets. They really are the worst. The end.
All right, so that is Children Make Terrible Pets. I thought that worked pretty well with our theme here this morning, which, by the way, today is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. So that's how this relates in with the animals. So we actually have a presentation today. So the presentation is Wild Animal Rescue by Wendy Bell and Aaron Hoag from Dane County Humane Society. It took me a second. I know the acronym I was trying to remember. It relates to the seventh principle, respect for interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. DCHS is a private nonprofit community-supported organization that is not affiliated with any government agency or national animal welfare organization. They are an open admission shelter accepting all animals that need assistance regardless of age, health, status, or temperament. DCHS has an adoption guarantee, meaning all healthy or treatable animals can stay at DCHS as long as it takes to find a loving home. As one of the nation's leading animal welfare organizations, DCHS offers humane education programs, community-based care for pets, foster care for animals for victims of domestic abuse, a pet food pantry, dog training classes, wildlife rehabilitation, which is what we'll talk about today, and much more. Our volunteers and their volunteers and professionals come together every day in the spirit of helping people help animals, and together create a culture of compassion, empathy, integrity, and accountability. So with that, I will turn it over to them.
Great. Renee, could you spotlight me on, not on the development, but on the other computer?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, I didn't know if you were going to share your screen right away, so.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Wendy, and this is Aaron. Hi. And we are educators here at Dane County Humane Society doing lots of outreach programs. This summer, we hosted a virtual camp for kids for about 10 weeks and teaching them about how they can help animals in their way that they can do as youngsters. And then we also provide scout workshops for youngers. We also do a lot of presentations. Prior to COVID, we were out to many different community organizations. So we probably would have come to your facility as well today to be able to bring an animal or two and talk about some of the great topics that you're interested in. So today, we're super excited to be a part of you virtually. So we've got a slideshow that we're going to share with you. And if you feel that you have a question or something you'd like to ask or comment, please feel free to do that as well. We would love to have time to maybe share one of our not-so-wild animals with you in our classroom. We have a classroom of animals, so we will do that as well. So Renee, what is our time frame about for this?
So it's about 25, 30 okay. minutes for the presentation, and then we usually have a Q&A at the end for like 10 okay. minutes.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, everyone, I'm going to start sharing my screen with you then. All right, here we go. So our topic, as Renee had said, was Dane County Humane Society's Wildlife Center. So we're going to just do a little overview generally about who we are at Dane County Humane Society. Our main shelter is on 29 acres of land, and that includes our main shelter with adoptable animals, and we've got animal medical services right here at the main shelter. We've got stray animal housing in case we get a pet that has lost its home, lots of offices. We've also got a feline and treatment center that's not part of our main center, but another building to treat cats with ringworm. We've got a livestock barn. Currently, John, the beautiful quarter horse, is out there right now looking for a home. And then in another building, our topic today, wildlife rehabilitation. We also have got some satellite adoption centers all around Madison, Sun Prairie, Fitchburg, and we have a beautiful thrift store that does house some cats sometimes as well. So if you get out to the Watts Road area across from Woodman's West, we've got a new thrift store that just opened up. And to just take a peek at the thrift store, we've got lots of goodies. Butterscotch is right there. The cat that was just roaming the thrift store and was adopted from someone who came in and saw that beautiful cat and said, hey, does this cat need a home? And sure enough, they became its new owners. So about our animals, real quickly, we're the second largest shelter in Wisconsin. We care for over about 9,000 animals a year. 5,000 of those are companion animals right here at the main shelter, and about 4,000 are wildlife animals. And on an average, there's about 10 companion animals that are admitted to our shelter through daily appointments because of a reason. Maybe they couldn't house their animal anymore because of some reasons. Maybe the animal was just overwhelming them as a family. So many reasons why people have to surrender or bring in animals. In 2019, we had 5,131 adoptions, redemptions, or transfers. We get transfers of animals from the South that come so we can get them into homes a little bit quicker. So there are the numbers of animals that we have at our shelter. Yes, we get fish. They're really popular with people, tortoises and turtles as well. Guinea pigs and rabbits. Cats, of course, are our number one animal, and dogs, goats, and chickens as well. Lots of them. Horses, too. Well, the picture here is of a young man. He saved his allowance so that he could get his very first dog, Tulip. So he was able to take his allowance and get his own dog. So he was super excited and very proud of himself for doing that. So taking a look at our Humane Society, the mission, our Wildlife Center, their mission, of course, is dedicated to providing responsible care for the ill, injured, and orphaned wildlife of South Central Wisconsin, and to promoting the education and awareness of the crucial role of wildlife in our community. We've got wonderful educators and volunteers who help us with that. This is what the building looks like on the outside. We don't allow the public to enter this space just because of the wild animals and being so very fragile. I've been in it maybe once or twice, but that is it. We do have volunteers who are given great opportunities to be educated about how to be around wild animals, and they're able to enter because of their wildlife volunteering services. So what species do we care for? That's a really good question. In 2019, 3,872 animals were admitted. 158 of those, they were different species of animals. And since 2003, the year we began our Wildlife Center, over 40,000 animals were admitted. We see in this picture here, it looks like there are some animals that are going to be released back into the wild. And so when we talk about releasing animals back into the wild, when we get animals from people, usually they make a call and say, hey, we've got an injured hawk. What do we do? And we usually tell them if you can get them in some type of secure box or a cage, please do so and bring it in so that we can help it. Sometimes they ask us if we can come out, and depending on volunteers, we can do that. But let's say that the finders found this hawk and brought it in. We would make sure that we get some information from them about where the hawk was found, the time of day, the season, and then we would start the rehabilitation on that animal depending on its needs. And then when the rehabilitation was done, we'd sometimes contact that person who found it and ask if they would like to be part of the release. Sometimes it's really fun for those people to be involved in seeing that animal nice and healthy and ready to be put back to where it was found or in that region where it was found. Again, to live its life out healthy and to continue being a wild animal. It looks like there's a little owl here that's getting some services. And then our wildlife rehabilitation team, of course, ready in action, doing some medical exams and some care for animals that need it. So our top five species of in 2019, would anyone like to take a guess as to what some of the species are? Anyone?
Raccoon.
Okay, keep going.
Squirrels.
Okay, anyone else?
Ducks.
Ducks, yeah, good, okay. I will continue. Here we go. Top five species. We've got that eastern cottontail rabbit. 721 of them were in because they needed our services. The common snapping turtle. Believe it or not, 320, although 301 were eggs that were found in the snapping turtle. Yes. Gray squirrel, 273 of those little ones. The big brown bat, believe it or not, 268 bats in our care. And the mallard duck, there we are with 236 of them. Someone had talked about a raccoon. We don't actually rehabilitate raccoons because of our very small space. So we're not able to house or care for the raccoons. But good guess. So let's take a look at some pictures. There are some babies. And some adults, we've got our cottontails and we've got our snapping turtles. I'm sure that some of you have seen them in your neighborhoods or areas. I know I live over by Warner Park, so I see them every year. The babies are just certainly very cute. And then we've got our squirrels, the big brown bats, and then we've got our ducks. Bats we usually see because of an injury. Maybe someone has found the bat in a time when they should be hibernating. So we actually care for them until it's fine for us to release them back just because we don't want them to suffer during that hibernation season if they're not able to do so. Baby bunnies, a lot of times we get baby bunnies from people who are concerned that their mothers are not with them. And we usually ask them a few questions before bringing those babies in, such as, do they look healthy? Are they plump? And we let them know also that the mom or the mother rabbit is usually only around in the morning and then at night to feed her babies. And then we caution people not to scoop those healthy little ones up because there's probably no reason to do so. If you see a bunny or a baby that is injured or maybe it looks raggedy, please call us and we can tell you next steps. But otherwise, bunnies are usually okay. All right, we're going to do a little guessing game. Here are some of the birds that we see in our wildlife center. All right, does anyone know this baby? What would this baby be? Put your thinking caps on, everyone. Just take a guess if you know or want to take a
Robin?
Guess. Okay, any other guesses?
Sparrows.
Okay, here we go. Let's show you the adult.
That was a cardinal.
It is.
Bird.
That is our northern cardinal. We see lots of those. This cardinal has its wings taped. They were injured. And so we make sure that the birds, they get rehabilitated by securing that wing and putting them in a smaller space so they can't use it. And as soon as it starts healing up, we'll put it in a little bit bigger space and then let it practice its flying before releasing it back into the wild. Okay, next one. Here we go. Ready? Another bird. That's the baby. Anyone want to take a guess?
Crow.
Okay, any other guesses?
Starling.
Okay, here we go.
Crow.
Oh.
Blackbird.
You got it, the American crow. Very good. We get crows in. Sometimes babies are without their mothers, so they need some feeding by some volunteers or staff that feed them until they're strong enough to go back into the wild. Okay, very good. Another one. Here's the baby.
Sandhill crane.
Sandhill crane.
You are so informed. That's awesome. Here is the adult, and we've got our sandhill cranes. Does anyone know what a sandhill crane baby is called?
It's a colt.
You got it. And do you know why? Why was the name given to that baby crane? It's so interesting. I'm super excited to know that someone knew of it because not a lot of people know it's a colt. And the reason it was named a colt is because its legs are nice and long like the baby colts are. And they seem a little unstable at first like the colt, the horse. So that's why it was given the name of a colt. Very good. Okay, sandhill cranes are very popular. Here we go. Next one. Oh, you can see that down on the bottom. What bird is that?
Oh, yeah. Hummingbird.
Hummingbird.
Very good. It is a hummingbird. Sometimes we get hummingbird babies. Obviously, you know they're super, super tiny. And many babies need to be fed every 20 or 30 minutes in the beginning by hand because they can't feed themselves. Okay. I'm going to share a little video with you of baby bird feeding time. Here we go.
I'm going to make sure everything is symmetrical. And I take two pictures of him, one from the front and one from the side, and he actually looks really good. I didn't see anything broken at all. So he probably just has a concussion, and we're going to get that fixed up with some time and medication.
So, Tessa, do you think that concussion could have been from that bird maybe just flying into a window?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, the finder saw him hit the window at about 6 o'clock this morning, and he has not been able to fly ever since.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, so he is one of the new ones that came in this morning.
Wow.
And here is the reception area where you would come if you found a baby animal. And then everything else here is behind the scenes.
Whoa, this is so cool.
We have the raptor nursery, which is empty at the moment. All the raptors are outside. The mammal room and the kitchen, which in a normal year is just full of volunteers helping us out. I can't believe how quiet it is this year. It is just us staff and some interns. But there is our big supply of mealworms to feed all the birds with. Lots and lots of them. We'll go through all of those in a day to feed all of our birds. Fruit, vegetables, piles of dishes we've done this morning. And then I was just going to sneak into the avian room and see if they are doing a 1 o'clock feeding of baby birds right now.
Okay, that would be
I'm going to be quiet in there so that the birds don't get used to people speaking.
Okay, sounds good.
So in the first one you saw, she was feeding a little house wren and then four little swallows. And then I turned around to the other incubator where we had a ruby-throated hummingbird, who also just came in today.
Were the birds that you first showed us babies?
Yes, all of those were babies who get fed every half hour, all day long.
Wow.
So we keep ourselves very busy.
I also
have a comment.
Go ahead, quickly. Tessa has to go, so go ahead and comment. Go ahead.
Actually, so we found a little butterfly in our yard maybe like a month ago, and its wings were injured. So we took it in for maybe like 5 days, just enough to give it some time for its wings to heal. And then we released it, and it flew off.
That's good. We don't care for butterflies here, just mammals and birds and reptiles and amphibians. And if you find any of those things that look injured, you should always give us a call. I'm hoping Wendy can help write down the rest of your question.
So I'm just going to stop it right there. I was sharing that from a clip that we have shared with during camp with some of our camp students. So you heard them talking, and then you also heard my voice in there as well. But I thought I would continue to share that with you because it was a fun experience. I had never seen those baby birds being fed before. And the campers during that summer camp had some fun questions that maybe you were thinking of as well. All right, I'm going to continue to share my screen. So as Tessa had said, there are the baby house wrens. I don't know if you were able to see the babies, but the little house wrens were there, the little baby swallows, and a ruby-throated hummingbird, that little baby right there. Those were the animals that they were feeding. By hand, all of those mealworms. Certainly amazing, those volunteers. All right, so we get raptors in as well. Raptors are those big birds of prey with those hooked beaks. They've got really sharp talons, and they are carnivores. So put your thinking caps on. Here we go. What kind of raptor is this? Anyone, if you want to unmute yourself?
Uh-huh.
You've got it. There's a red-tailed hopper. We see quite a few of these. One of the major reasons we see them is because car collisions. So sad. Okay, next one. Does anyone know what this raptor is?
Screech owl.
Owl.
Oh, you've got a great group of thinkers in here. We've got the little eastern screech owl. How adorable is that?
Adorable.
Next one. Here we go. Anyone know this one?
Baby owl.
Owl.
Can you be more specific?
Great horned.
Look at you, great horned owl. Yes. And you're so smart. What's really fun about the babies is that the great horned owls are a little less specific about finding places to have their babies. So they'll find a makeshift nest have their babies. And many times those little baby owls just plop out of the nest because they're not adequate for them to live in for a while. And they'll continually fall out. So people will find them. Sometimes they're injured and brought to us. And then we'll find out where that nest was. And we'll actually have volunteers go and put these makeshift nests up here, these buckets, so that the babies can continue to live without falling out of their nests and injuring themselves.
Let the mother take care of them.
Yeah. Okay. What animal is this? What raptor is this?
Eagle.
Bald eagle.
Yeah, we've got our bald eagles as well. So we see those as well here at our wildlife center. Okay, we're going to zoom through some mammals. Here we go. Anyone?
Red fox.
You've got it. I'm sure that some of you have probably seen them in your backyard or in your neighborhood. I know that I see them and hear them as well. Got our cute red fox. All right, here are some babies. Let's see how wildlife...
Field mice?
Go ahead.
Field mice?
Ooh. I'll give you another
possum. Oh.
Dang it.
Chipmunk.
A flying squirrel.
Oh,
so it's really interesting. This flying squirrel, I know that I've seen them in my backyard. I've seen them probably around dusk flying from tree to tree. They are not marsupials. I think some people think that they are. They're different from the, the little glider squirrels. The gliders are actually not native to North America. They're actually from Australia. Those are the little marsupials, but we don't have the gliders unless they are our pets, and they can be kept as pets. Flying squirrels we would not recommend because they are wild animals. Okay, next one. Ooh, what do you think?
Big brown bat.
There you got it. Here's our big brown bat. We see so many of these. I don't know about you. I really didn't see many big brown bats this year. And I live in a neighborhood where we used to have swarms of them. Sometimes illness will strike them. I look forward to seeing them every year, but because they eat
all my other kids.
But we usually have an abundance, but for me, not so much. We do see reptiles too. So here we go. Guessing game on. What is this?
Snapping turtle.
Here's this great snapping turtle. Look at the babies right next to it. You'll notice that the shell of the snapping turtle is scraped. It was in a collision with a vehicle. Someone had found that snapping turtle with a bunch of babies. We didn't know she had babies until she came here. We were able to take those eggs and care for those eggs until the babies were ready to hatch. And then mama and babies were released back to where they were found. She mended right up, and they were able to release
their eggs. They hatched them.
Do many of you know how to help a turtle cross the road? I know we don't have a lot of time. I was going to show this video, but one of the main takeaways from a turtle, if you do see it, always make sure that you help it across the road in the direction in which it's traveling. You don't want to take it and scoot it back because it's just going to continue to go forward. And with turtles, you always have to make sure that you're very careful about picking them up. With the snapper, we suggest just hopefully having something in which you can put underneath it to drag it through. Sometimes there's a shovel or maybe a car mat that you can scoot it on. Maybe there's even a piece of cardboard. There are different ways to pick up a turtle. We would suggest the back side of its, as you can see this man, the back side of its shell. And just scooting it, we would hope that you wouldn't pick it up so much as just scooting it. You can put it on something and scoot it around and take it to the other side of the road so that it can continue on its merry way. Well, we talked a little bit about why animals come to us. Well, let's take a take a look at a few things, reasons why. Nearly all of them are admitted injured or sick due to interacting with people. Again, being hit by cars, window collisions, a big one. I often hear thuds on my windows at my home and quickly look to see if there's a bird on the ground. Maybe they're orphaned due to pet or human interaction, or maybe they've ingested some toxic materials or perhaps some litter. This bird looks like it was injured right here due to human interaction. It looks like it was actually shot with the BB. This animal right here, this heron, was found near a dog park. It had ingested so much garbage that it wasn't even able to fly anymore, and it was almost stuck in the spot where someone found it. They brought it back to us, and we were able to get it healthy again, so it was able to be released. And these babies were injured or orphaned. Someone had a tree in their yard there was a branch overlooking their neighbor's yard, but the tree was actually being cut down, and the neighbors found this tree branch in their yard with a nest in it with babies, no mother around, and they brought those babies to us so that we could help them get healthy and back to being able to live on their own. Just another chart to show why animals come to us. Look at that, being hit by a car, orphaned, injury, for some reason injured by a dog. I know this morning I had a really interesting situation. I let my dog out in the back, and to our surprise, he met a raccoon. Woo! So the raccoon had two babies with her, and I did not know that. Luckily, my dog scurried off because the raccoon was going to my dog. But we had a hard time with the baby raccoons because they were actually stuck in a little garden that we had created with the gate. So we made sure Mama was not around, and we opened the gate and allowed those babies to escape. And they quickly tried to get up a tree and be gone. But we did not want our dog to injure them, nor did we want the raccoon to injure our dog. But it didn't happen. Also, nests are maybe falling from trees. They're hitting windows. Some are illegally being raised by people, injured by a car as well. So when they come to us, of course, we try to help them. I'm just going to quickly go back. So we house them. Here are some turtles that are put into, not turtles, here are some squirrels that someone created a squirrel habitat for them. We've got a snowy owl there. We feed them to make sure they're getting their nutrients so they're able to survive on their own when they are old enough or when they are healthy. And then we also provide enrichment. Here's a tundra swan. We tried to mimic its environment by putting some of the vegetation in its area until it was mended and healed and ready to be on its own as well. We treat their medical needs. Here was a red fox with horrible, horrible mange. We were able to treat that poor little fox by making sure that it was getting the treatment it needed, and then it was able to be released back into the wild once it was mended. We talked about renesting those owls and their sloppy job of housing their babies, but we can renest them. And this turtle was injured. You see this right here? What is that? Looks like a hook. It was injured. We were able to find that on x-ray and rehabilitate it and get it back. Oh, here's another picture of an animal with terrible, terrible mange as well. And then we nursed it back to health and we were able to release it. So if you find an injured animal, we always suggest that you call us and we can talk you through the steps on what it's going to take for you to either help it or leave it. Most of the time, we always have professionals here who are able to talk you through the process before bringing it here without knowing what exactly to do. And here are some birds. Which one of these should you put back into its nest? So a lot of times we get birds and people don't know which one should be put back and which one should be brought to us. Anyone want to take a guess? Yeah, put that thing right back in where it belongs. It looks healthy. It looks like it should go back in. And don't worry. The mama bird does not, well, she may know that you've touched it, but that's not going to deter her from wanting to continue helping and protecting and caring for her young. We can touch those wild animals, any wild animal, and put it back where it belongs as long as it's safe for us to do so. Okay, what's going on with these bunnies? Are they injured or unhealthy? Anyone? No, they look so plump and great. A lot of times we get these plump little bunnies that have bellies full of milk and someone will say, but they don't have a mom. Remember that mom is off. If they look healthy, we just say leave them alone. Make sure that they're secure. In a safe place, but leave them alone. And we always say, if you can, just leave them there. If you see that they're not distressed, that they don't have a disease, that they're eating healthy, one of the biggest takeaways is just leave them there. Remember that wild animals are not our pets. If you are thinking of taking in a wild animal, thinking about perhaps always think about the law, of course. And then also, how are you going to make sure that it's kept wild? That's one of the reasons they are wild, is to keep them wild. Do you have any questions? I know I went through this pretty quickly,
Wendy, there were a couple of questions from chat I want to ask.
Yes, of course. I'm going to stop sharing. Yeah, go for it.
So one of them was someone asked about when you're moving turtles, are you supposed to keep them even? Because they heard that if they're traveling to lay eggs, they have water in the shell. So you don't want to like tip it because the water could spill out. Is that correct? You want to keep it even?
Yeah, I would definitely. And it's always a question of how you keep yourself safe and how you keep that animal safe. One of the things watching that video, and Renee, I can always share that link with you if you want to share it with the rest of the members as well. One of the things when moving that animal, again, is to do it with the least amount of interaction as possible. So that's why if you carry a blanket or something in your car and you can get that animal onto that transporting device, you can just take the edge of the cardboard or blanket and move them to that other side of the road so they can continue to go on by themselves. Good question. Yeah, very good question.
And if people have questions, because we just have like a couple minutes for questions, it's actually faster if you type it into the chat and I just read them to her versus us trying to switch between people. So I'm just going to ask one more question. The chat was, what's the telephone number that people can call? Because you kept talking about calling, but you didn't show a number. So,
right. And I know what our main number is right now, but I don't know what the, why don't I, Erin, you want to look up our wildlife center? Yep. Erin's going to look our number up and then I'll just type it in the chat. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be great if you can just type it in there.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a really good, I think we have the information on the last couple of slides and I just wanted to be mindful of your time. But yes, I will type that in the chat. Good question.
Great. Were there any other, I'm looking in gallery view for any raised hands. Oh, in the chat. What kinds of goats do the HS have? I don't know what HS means.
The Humane Society?
Oh, the Humane Society. You have goats, apparently? Or do you?
Sometimes we do have goats. Sometimes goats come to us because families can't take care of them. Perhaps they were found with conditions that were not right for them to stay healthy. So every so often we get a goat, which is super fun. We house them and care for them, and we promote them on social media. We promote them through our friends and family to try and see if they can get homes. So all different kinds of goats. Goats that are usually from a farm that have gotten loose or just because they were surrendered.
Okay. Great. Any other final? We have like one more question.
Sure. One more question. These are great questions.
No. I think that's it. And I think our time is up. So thank you so much for presenting and showing us the video of the baby birds being fed. That was very informative. So thank you, Wendy and Erin.
Oh, yes, of course. And thank all of you for allowing us to be a part of what you do. It sounds like you've got a great group of people who are interested in wildlife. Erin and I are super excited to be a part of being able to talk to the little ones too soon, next month, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to do that. Hey, can we share Jake the snake with you real quickly? He's a corn snake.
Sure.
Okay, very good. We'll just quickly share. You can find it.
Okay. Are you going to do the iPad? Do you want to do the iPad or are you going to do just your...
I can just do it from just here.
Okay, yeah, you can just do that one. All right, Jake the snake, everyone.
And this is our great friend, Stacy. She's here helping. Oh, Jake is nice and warm. Look at Jake. All right, everyone, this is Jake the snake. He is a corn snake. He's about 15 years old, and he came to us. Renee, can I admit Nancy?
Yeah, I did. She's joining right now.
Okay. Jake is about 15 years old. He came to us about eight or nine years ago, surrendered by the family that just couldn't take care of him anymore. He has been a wonderful, wonderful addition to our classroom here, so he's not up for adoption. We take him to presentations. The campers during Camp Paw Print are able to interact with him. We learn about how to feed him. We learn about how to take care of him. Do you see his underbelly? What does that look like to Thank you.
Little squares.
Maybe like little pieces of corn. So being that he lives in cornfields in the southern states, he's able to camouflage, but then also eat things that are in the cornfields. What does he eat in the cornfields? And the farmers are really happy about it.
Mice.
You've got it, the mice. So he loves eating mice and rats. He's just super, super handleable. Very inquisitive right now. He's about 5 feet long. And for us, he eats about once a week. He still does shed quite a bit. Oh, there we go. We've got the number for you if you are interested in calling the Wildlife Center. Thank you. And so every 3 or 4 months, he'll shed his outer skin. So he still does that. And the more you handle Jake, the more he loves to be interacting. He loves kids, loves all kinds of people. He does live in an area with a heat lamp. He's got some water in there as well. He lives by himself. He doesn't need any other companions. Believe it or not, we do keep him busy. There he is.
Thanks, Wendy. We have to finish up our service. Thank you so much, though. That was very, very cool.
I need to talk and talk. So, Renee, you just let us know when I have to go, and then I'll zip it. But thanks again. We're going to leave the meeting at this time, but thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Thank you. Oh, there we go. Randy's going to read the closing words. And they are by St. Francis. Oh, do you want to say it?
It's by St. Francis of Assisi. Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible.
Great. Thank you so much. All right. And then our final song is kind of a fun one. It's the Carnival of the Animals. It's a 25-minute song. We're not listening to 25 minutes. It's broken into different acts with the different animals. And hold on a second. I'm going to share my screen. I'll be there in 1 second. It's called The Swan. Oops, have to get out of the terrible pets one. Here it is.
Thank you.
And that is by Saint-Saëns. I looked up the French pronunciation. It was published posthumously in like 1920. He did it as just a fun thing. He didn't want it published until after he died. And it's actually what he's best known for. So maybe he should have published it during the time that he was alive, but he didn't. So anyway, it's really fun. If you want to look up the whole song, it's really fun to listen to. All right. So that ends.